Are the mics on?
Yeah.
Are we live?
I think so.
Did you hit record?
I don't know.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast streaming live on Digital Stream Radio. You can listen live. Already screwed it up. You can listen live every Monday at 6:30 Eastern Standard Time on digitalstreamradio.com. On today's show, we are welcoming Rob Sanders, a teacher and a writer who will be joining us to chat about his new nonfiction children's book, Pride, The Story of Harvey Milk and the Rainbow Flag, illustrated by Stephen Salerno. In addition, we also have our second installment of From Top to Bottom with Dr. Evan Goldstein, which will be on the second half of the show. My name is Nick Artrish, and I am your host today. And with me today, filling in for Tom, is my good friend and guest host.
Hi, everyone. It's Meg.
And as always, sitting in his usual spot, the actual Captain Moose Knuckle.
Good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
Nailed it.
Proud of you.
I literally don't think I took one breath during that whole thing. I was just freaking out the whole time. And by the way, Tom, I know you're listening, so are we live on air? Can you text us, please?
I will say you are sweating less than Tom, though.
I have a little bit of room in this chair.
Tom says, yes, we're good.
Oh, my God,
we're
good. I did it. We're live.
Yay.
And we are recording, I think. Yes.
We'll find out at the end. We're like, do it again.
Start from the beginning.
Awesome.
So anyway, as you can tell, Tom is not here today. So this is really, really weird for us. We've never not had him in the studio before. Obviously, he's our producer. And I'm trying to figure out how to do this the whole time by myself. Well, Chris is helping me by, you know, pushing Xanax underneath the table the entire time. Mm-hmm. Crushing it up and putting it in my cocktail.
I'm going to have her drooling by the end.
Speaking of cocktail, though, Chris, tell us, what's going on for a cocktail today?
I picked a specific one because, though Tom is not physically here, he's here in spirit. She's here as our, like, kind of like our fairy, very fairy godmother. So we are going with the godmother cocktail today. It's a very simple cocktail, but it's not vodka and soda, so we put a little bit more thought into it.
I'm drinking vodka and soda, Meg.
Okay, well, I actually am, too.
That's okay. I powered through and actually had one of these. It's not my favorite. It's good, but it's, like I said, it's a godmother. It consists of 1.5 ounces vodka and 1/2 ounce of amaretto. Add the ingredients into an ice-filled old-fashioned glass. Stir well and saluti.
And we're sure that that's the Italian way of saying salute.
One part of Italy, apparently.
It sounds good.
Oh, yeah, it sounds good to me.
We'll take it. We'll take it.
Anyway, so did anything happen fun? Did anybody have anything happen fun this weekend? Didn't you go to P-Town?
I did go to P-Town.
Tell us about it.
Well, we had fabulous weather on Saturday, so we were able to walk around, enjoy town. Actually, it was packed for a Saturday. There was lines for lunch at 2 o'clock.
That's bullshit.
Even this time of year?
Yeah. I think once the weather gets nice and the sun is out, I mean, people come out of the woodwork. I swear they bus in the tourists.
Yeah.
The real question, though, right? Aren't like heterosexuals kind of taking over P-Town? Was it still like a lot of, you know, gay people there, or were these lines straight families?
So I find daytime brings in a lot of the straights.
Okay. Because
they're coming in from, you know, somewhere on the Cape, and so they're coming in to you know, walk around, shop, go to the restaurants. Nighttime is a little less gay, but then in the middle of the summer, that better? Trying to be closer?
No, it was my fault. Tom just texted me, but you're good now.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, it is. And, like, truth be told, like, we're part of the problem because we just sold our condo in P-Town to a straight couple.
Yeah, but then didn't you buy a new condo?
We did. So, like, we, you know, repurposed the money, but we did bring a straight couple in. I know.
How do we feel about that, though? How do we feel about Provincetown being taken over by the heterosexual community? Do we actually feel that way? Is that happening?
Well, I will say it's a pretty big topic in town. I mean, I swear, like, it comes up all the time because we know a lot of people that live there either year round or they're part timers.
Right.
And it's definitely because it's such a catch-22. Like, you want to be accepted and included so you don't get to be exclusive.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
Exactly.
You can't have it both ways.
And I mean, If you look at it, I can look at it.
That's a valid point.
We want it both ways, but.
I definitely want it both ways.
If I had a nickel.
Yeah, right?
I'd
still be poor.
The way I look at it is more like, you know, 20 years ago, families would be like pushing their children like away if they saw like a man and another man holding hands or two ladies holding hands. But now they're exposing their children to same-sex couples, which I think is progress. But like you're saying, yeah, like we want this to be our own kind of area. But then why are we fighting for so much inclusion and equality if we're trying to push ourselves into our own region?
Yeah.
I feel super torn because we have a lot of like wonderful straight friends, too, that I enjoy spending time with. And like it feels weird to say because especially if even
no, you can't come.
Yeah. And especially if anyone's like listening right now, too. And I'm like, oh, I don't want any of the straights. Like that feels really.
Right.
It feels wrong, and it is, because it is.
I think the difference, right, is we're totally all about bringing everybody in. It's the, we don't want to lose that culture. We don't want to lose that part of ourselves that was P-Town and still is P-Town. I mean, you still have the summer season. If you're a heterosexual couple or a family, there are some weekends you might want to stay away from.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Bear Week, hide your children.
Hide your wife.
Hide your children, hide your wife, close your eyes. I'm sure it gets pretty nasty up there.
Like, I think at A House, that was the, for Easter, it was the basket party, or there was basket related, show your basket, something like that. So I don't know if you want to bring your kids to that.
And by basket, I'm assuming they're talking about balls.
Oh, I would assume it would be something with genitalia. I don't believe it had anything to do with like a wicker basket. In fact, I feel like that would chafe.
Yeah, most likely.
Ooh, yeah, that does not sound pleasant. That does not sound pleasant.
But tell me there wasn't some gay guy running around in a wicker basket naked.
I would assume so, but this old lady was in bed too early.
I'm just not brave enough to do that. Now I love the idea of it, like having a banana hammock made out of wicker, but I'm just not brave enough to walk around like that.
Mm. Maybe one day, Chris. Maybe when you see Dr. Goldstein.
He's a butt doctor, not a front side doctor.
I know, but he also does plastic surgery. Maybe he can just fix it all up so it looks nice and tight, and then he can just... go.
Okay. Maybe. Something to look forward to, right?
But anyway, also this weekend was Easter, and I know that Chris had a really special Easter. So you want to tell us about what
I
happened?
Did actually have a really sweet weekend. I drove to Long Island when I got out of work on Friday, and it was so beautiful on Saturday. Ready for this? I'm still sore. We went and played tennis for 2 hours. Yeah.
I didn't even know you could play tennis.
I started getting into it toward the end of high school with some of my friends. I'm not amazing, but I don't hit the ball stays in. Like, it doesn't go outside of the fenced in area anymore. It
doesn't really sound that fun.
No, I can actually play. We did lose. I was with my boyfriend, his brother.
I was just talking about the balls being fenced in. Anyway, go on.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Just and like not Tom, slipping can't, out or can't, not falling out? What was it?
Some things happen sometimes.
We just can't keep things nice here. Even when Tom's not here, things can't remain nice.
I don't know what ever. It is about this seat, it's making me very sexual. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, Chris, tell us about your
boy.
Easter.
And now Easter.
Exactly. Again, we'll go back to the nice part. But it was nice. It was my boyfriend, his brother, and his girlfriend, and we played tennis. And then on Sunday, it was his uncle's birthday, so like, a good amount of the family came over, and I had Easter dinner with my boyfriend and his family. It was very nice.
Aww.
I stuffed my face. It was fantastic. Passed out immediately after eating a shit ton of turkey.
That sounds like such a wonderful Easter, and I don't mean to blow up your spot right now, but did you bring your boyfriend an Easter basket?
I did bring my boyfriend an Easter basket. It had a candle. It had Pokemon gummies. It had no chocolate bunnies, because he hates bunnies. So it was very hard to avoid bunnies.
What about Marlon Bundo?
Well, I didn't fill him in on that bunny. I did tell him that I killed a bunny last week. I wasn't happy about it. It ran in front of my car, and I couldn't do anything.
This got dark real quick.
I tried so hard to avoid that bunny.
Jesus.
It was so sad. I was leaving East Haven. It happened within 2 minutes of leaving my apartment, and I was like starting to cry. I'm like, I just think like animals are going to run in front of my car the entire drive there. Like, I was just imagining me having like a death count of 10 time I made it there. It was very morbid.
Oh my God.
But it's safe to say, Peter didn't make it, but no other animals went underneath my car.
So at the end of the day, we all had a nice weekend, right? Okay.
Absolutely. I didn't kill a bunny on Easter. It was a week ago.
I'm actually very proud to say that no animals were hurt in our weekend.
Perfect.
Well, I mean, animals. I mean, maybe.
Yeah. Or in this episode of Gay Talk 2.0.
Oh my God.
Unless those dogs shit on the floor one more time.
I swear to God. But that being said, before we jump into some stories for you, let's plug a sponsor.
Tonight's episode is brought to you by Innovative Heating and Cooling LLC, a Connecticut-based business servicing the greater New England tri-state area. From maintenance and repairs to replacements, conversions, and even new installs, Innovative Heating and Cooling provides professional top-quality work for both commercial and residential customers. Call our friends Garrett and Kyle today and schedule your free in-home estimate by calling 203-283-7272. You can follow them on Facebook at Innovative Heating and Cooling. Now back to the show.
Even though he's off today, I knew he would find his way in. I knew it. It started. I was like, that's how he got in.
Well, I mean, the opener is his voice.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Two times.
Anyway, Chris, I know that you wanted to talk to us about something, so why don't you fill us in on a little something, something, something?
Well, because we mentioned Marlon Bundo, and we were talking about bunnies, and we're going to be having an author on later, I thought it was good to get a little Bundo update. So we know that John Oliver put out a book, a children's book, in which Vice President Mike Pence's pet bunny, Marlon Bundo, falls in love with another boy rabbit, and it's a bestseller. And not only is it a bestseller, but the creator of Will and Grace, has donated a copy of the pro-LGBT Marlon Bundo book to every Indiana grammar school.
So, wait, hold on. Can you say that one more time?
Yes. This book is not only a bestseller, but now it will be available in every elementary school in the homophobic Pence's home state of Indiana.
That's
amazing. A donation. So claps.
Claps for him.
Hell yes. Wait, hold on, Tamo. You know about Marlon Bundo, right, Meg?
Oh, I do. I'm fascinated by it.
Did you order Marlon Bundo?
We either already ordered it, or then we looked into the bookstore in P-Town who's carrying it.
Oh.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I ordered it. I still haven't received it. We don't need to talk about it. I'm a little upset, but I can't
wait. Well, because they're getting so many orders, they can't keep printing it fast enough.
Did you see the Ellen show where he gave him out? Oh, it's actually...
When John Oliver went...
I still want to get on Ellen. What the fuck?
We would like to go, too. Yeah, John Oliver was on, and so she had a contest for him in 1 minute to give out as many books as possible, and then... I'm not going to plug it right, but someone then donated something to a good cause, you know, for however long he did it. And so literally with the timer going down, he is running through the audience, passing out books. And then the entire audience walked out with that book.
That's incredible. And how long has this book been out now? John Oliver put this out and it sold more copies.
It's got to be 2 weeks because I went on vacation and the week prior, it was the day after I talked about it. So it's been on sale for 2 weeks and I think it's already sold out on Amazon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's back ordered. Like it's...
I don't know. I heard a story that Pence's wife bought...
Pence's... Are you talking about his daughter?
Was it his daughter?
I think I brought this up. Yeah, I brought this up last week, and I'm looking through the notes.
Oh, maybe that's where I heard it when I was listening in Florida. Whoops.
Because she was basically saying that, you know, it's for a good cause. One, it's educational, and it's for a good cause, so we should be not worried about differences. We should be worrying about working together and helping each other and, you know, helping the greater good. So that's what she was saying.
And that's his daughter?
That's his daughter.
What happened? I mean, more power to her, but...
Oh, yeah. It's a good way to handle the situation, too, though.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not saying it's not sincere, but I think that's the right response.
Yeah,
well, right. Agreed.
She should probably handle all of Pence's PR. Like, let's be honest.
He'd be more popular.
I'm still going to pick on his wife, though.
Why?
I don't know. Because she's a bitch.
Okay.
We covered it with her stuff trying to keep, like... gay propaganda, as Vladimir Putin would put it, out of children's ears. We talked about her on the... We've burned her on the show before.
We've burned a lot of people on the show before.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true. I could not find the article. I was searching for it that whole time, but... Yeah. So, that's great. That's great.
All right, well... So, I found a really interesting article to... Not an article, it was a video about... Klexicon. I think I'm saying that right. I think we just talked about it earlier today, and I talked to Jess Brannis, who's another podcaster on our show. But basically, Klexicon is
it's like Comic Con, but not an event, but
it's for queer women to get together and like talk about issues that actually like affect them outside of gay men or transgender people or whoever is part of the LGBT umbrella, right? So
right.
It's just specifically for queer women. First, I don't know why they use the word queer. I don't necessarily like that.
Well, in preparation for the show, I tried to do a little research because I wanted to seem intellectual, and then I got overwhelmed, and all I really wanted to talk about was Jesus Christ Superstar. But I digress. But I did come across a few articles about terminology, and I obviously can't represent the entire lesbian population, you know, as one person, but I do think there's varying opinions out there about how people prefer to be, you know, referred to.
Right.
Like not even pronouns. Like some girls don't like the word lesbian.
Okay.
You know, and some would rather be called just gay. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's where queer is, where they don't feel like they are fitting exactly into the same categories. I don't know exactly why. Like, again, I certainly am not going to claim to be any expert, but I don't mind. I think the word queer is a little bit of like embracing it back because it used to be kind of an insult.
And, right.
Right.
You know what I never understood? Why is it, because you're gay, Meg, I'm gay, but I'm not like, I don't have a separate term, but lesbians have a separate term. Where did that come from and why? Why this separation?
I feel like this is an excellent topic for us to explore in another podcast since I don't have a good answer. No, but I agree. Like, I feel like if I feel the need to tell someone I'm gay, I don't say I'm a lesbian. I tend to say I'm gay.
Yeah.
Like, A, it's easier, less syllables, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I always feel like as Pete, you know, not to dwell on P-Town, but when I think about it, you know, we meet a lot of people there, women and men, and you always find some men that really prefer to only have other male friends, other gay male friends. And we meet plenty of women that prefer to only have other, you know, gay female friends or lesbians.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like my wife and I fall right into the middle because we really like everybody. You know, we have lesbian friends. We have a lot of gay guy friends. And, you know.
That's how I met you.
I know.
Hello.
It's been, what, 5 years?
About, yeah. No, exactly, yeah.
So I don't know all the answers, but I just find, like, we don't fit into, you know, one category or the other either, exactly.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, and Chris can speak to this. On the show, we've talked about, several times, we've talked about there's so much visibility in the public eye, like Queer Eye and, like, Will and Grace for gay men, but there's not enough visibility for queer women, right? So I think that's where Klexicon.
Yeah.
That's where it came from. And I personally think that it's a brilliant idea. I would love to hear what you think about, you know, the visibility of the queer woman in the public eye for people to grow up and understand that it's just like being a gay man or being normal. It's no different.
No, I agree. I don't think there's as much representation, and I think there's a couple factors. I mean, lesbians make for a great, like, you know, butt of a joke, right? Being like super butch, being, you know, wearing your flannels, backing up the U-Haul, like whatever it might
the
be.
Cat.
Yeah. You know.
Mind you, Meg does not have a cat.
No. Two adorable little puppies, though.
I love them.
You know, so I think there's that factor where it tends to be the butt of a joke versus being the main character. I mean, like, I loved when the L Word was on, right? Because they weren't just lesbians. They were, like, hot lesbians, right? It wasn't, like, a bunch of overweight lesbians in...
What do you call that? The lipstick lesbian, right?
I guess. For me, I like a sporty girl that dresses nice.
No.
I know.
You don't say.
That's my type, you know. So, no, like, I prefer something a little more fitted than, like, a baggy cargo whatever. But for people that like that, I think that's great, too. Like, whatever people like. But I just feel like women aren't, I don't know, there's, like, a cool factor to being friends with a couple, like, cute gay guys that can help them decorate their house. And then, for some reason, the girls don't get the same, like, cool factor, I feel like, at least in the straight world.
I mean,
and maybe with women, because, like, I find, you know, straight guys can be homophobic more than a straight woman, but I think a lot of that is changing, too.
It's interesting that you say that, though, because if I were to go to anybody for furnishing house advice, both of your homes are, like, straight up gorgeous. I'm like, this is, like, the gay man's dream. Like, everything is, like, pristine and perfect. There's all these little, like, trinkets that are perfectly matched where they need to be. And it's like, I'm like, is this like an escape room? Is this a puzzle? And I'm trying to figure out, like, there's got to be something here.
Well, I appreciate that and take it as a huge compliment, like, because we do love to decorate, but But then it's kind of funny because people, and they mean it, like, and I crack up about it, so I don't take this as an insult, but it's a little bit like, oh, did you get the gay gene? Right? So it's, we're told that we have the gay gene. And again, it's not the first time I've been told that with my love of Broadway, love to decorate, you know, so there's a few.
Your office.
Yeah. Right. My wall of playbills he's referring to. Like entire wall.
The first time I go to their house, like, I haven't even gotten a tour yet. And she goes, have you seen my office? I'm like, hi. How are you? You want a Jameson shot? Let's go see the office.
Exactly. Shot in office. And because I've literally saved every single playbill of every single show I've ever seen.
That's incredible.
Like a psycho.
I don't even do that, and I work in theater.
No, we actually, my brother helped me discover the other day that I really did have the first one that I ever saw from sometime in the 80s when we saw Les Mis when I was a kid.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Have you seen any Broadway shows, Chris?
I've been to Broadway. I've seen the Phantom of the Opera, obviously. Phantom of the Opera, I've seen Legally Blonde, In the Heights, Pirate Queen. I've seen more. I've seen six. I can't remember the other two.
So I don't know if I think I probably have told this story, but my first time ever going to see a Broadway show, my parents, I don't know how old I was. I must have been like 14, maybe 15. I don't know. For Christmas, they got me two tickets to go see Rent. And like, Rent. Like, I knew I was gay. I wasn't out. And Rent is about...
Well, I'm pretty sure I thought you were Adam Rapp. What's the main character?
Yeah, Adam Rapp.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I thought you were him when I first met you.
I wish. So I'm so excited, and I get these tickets, and I'm like basically crying at the Christmas tree. And then they're like, but you have to take your babysitter, Jill. Like, what? Like,
I've got it.
I mean, she was great. I loved my babysitter, but like, I had to go see my first Broadway show with my babysitter, Jill. And then we get to the scene. We're sitting there. We get to the scene where Angel's dying, and it's beautiful on stage. I mean, if you've ever had a chance to see it, it's just absolutely gorgeous on stage. And I just start sobbing, and I'm like, I can't. And Jill like grabs my hand, and I just look at Jill, and I'm like, Jill, I'm gay. And she was like, I know, Nick. We'll go get donuts. I was like, okay.
Aren't you so grateful? Imagine if you're sitting next to your father. Imagine how that would have went over. That would have been a fun one.
That would not have been fun.
Dad!
Dad! I don't know why I'm crying.
That's a pretty good show to come out to, though. I got to say, like, you picked a good one.
Yeah, no, I don't think it really had a choice, you know? At that moment, I'm like, oh my God, this person is dying because of, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't know what to do. But speaking of shows, you want to talk about Jesus Christ Superstar, which I didn't get to see.
Oh, I loved it so much. Like, from the moment it started, I thought it was fabulous last night. And I'll, like, quote my brother, who's also gay, when we were texting back and forth about it. I'm like, so do you like it? And he writes back, hot black guys singing Broadway. What do you think?
So what was so great about it besides hot black guys singing Broadway?
Well, John Legend was great as Jesus.
Obviously, yeah.
I love Sarah Bareilles as Mary Magdalene, right? And I mean, actually the guy that played Judas Iscariot was so good as well. And I think the staging of it, because some of the other live musicals that they've done, they feel like super overproduced, and not that I hated them, but
I actually didn't like them. I didn't.
Because they feel really overproduced.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel like... I think...
Didn't feel live.
And part of it, too, for me is like, you're taking something that's so special from a place and bringing it to... Not that everybody shouldn't have that access to it, but that's just going to degrade the audience, you know?
Bringing
people back to Broadway. Because I can just sit at home and watch whatever it is.
So what was kind of cool about Jesus Christ Superstar is it was in front of a live audience at this huge soundstage or something in Brooklyn, because the set was enormous, but it was all right there. So it really felt like you were watching a musical, kind of much more live than some of the other ones where they don't have an audience. So the place is like cheering like mad, right? Like they are going crazy for these guys when they come out. And there was like four hot ladies that were playing the violin and like cello and viola or something, you know, like to
nailed
like,
it.
Yeah, thank you. I did play the violin as a little kid, but it didn't stick. So they're, you know, so they're like playing along. I don't know. They're, and the audience is going crazy. So you felt like there was that live vibe to it,
right,
where the actors, you know, kind of fed off of that. So I don't know. I just, and I think just because it's kind of a rock one too, like the music is pretty intense. So I just really liked it.
And so every person should see it, but mainly most gay people should watch it for the hot black men singing Broadway.
I mean, I think that'd be my brother's opinion, but and even though maybe I don't want to have sex with those guys, I do appreciate someone that's easy on the eyes, so I certainly didn't mind watching.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? I think women are beautiful. Yeah. I don't want to sleep with women, but like you two are beautiful.
Aww.
Hello? Chris, on the other hand, he's Captain Moose Knuckle.
Over it.
Yeah, well, you're taken, so it's like, whatever.
Yeah, he's pretty handsome, though. I'm not going to lie.
I'm super tired and feel gross right now, so I appreciate that. Aww. Very much. Thank you.
So, not to revert all the way back to what I was saying, but I just want to say back to Lexicon. I don't know if I'm saying. So, it's the largest multi-fandom event for LGBTQ women and allies, celebrating LGBTQ women and characters in TV, film, web series, comics, books, and more. For more information, go to clexa-con.com. I think it's really amazing for the women of the gay community to check it out and be a part of it. They're doing some amazing stuff.
Yeah, I do too, because it's like, I think they started calling it Bury the Gays, because all the gays get killed off in TV. So that was kind of how it started, was because of Lexa from the 100. So that's how the Clexa Con.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, see, I never saw the 100, so I don't even...
Well, I mean, I read the answer to this.
You should watch Myst. There's a gay character in that one, too, and it's interesting.
Do they die?
I don't want to really give anything away.
I mean, chances are if they're a gay lead character, they're probably going to die.
That's what I always think. I'm like, oh, gay person, you're going to die.
Yep, you're next.
It used to be like... And it's true, especially in horror movies, the black person would be the first person to die. Mm-hmm. That's very true.
I mean, in another teen movie, there was he was like, I'm just the token black.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And now, you see the gay character, you're like, yay, they're putting a gay character in there, but he's not going to last long.
But he'll probably have sex before the end of the movie, so stay with it.
And a quick thing with the lesbos before you send us off.
The lesbos?
Lesbian is derived. I thought this. I had to double check it. Lesbian is derived from the Greek island of Lesbos, which I knew that. And that was home of the 6th century BC poet Sappho? Sappho? I think Sappho is her name. And very little of her poetry survives, but the remaining work that is still there reflected mainly on women's daily lives, their relationships, and rituals. So that is where the term lesbian came from.
That's amazing, but I still want to know why, and at what point women tried, whether it was women or was it gay men, separated it out. Was it because of the AIDS crisis?
It was in the early 20th century, I believe, around either the First or Second World War, where that title was really put on women. I believe. I could be wrong, but I believe
sounds
that.
Like Chris has some homework to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of homework to do.
All right, I think this is the perfect time for break. We'll see you guys in a bit.
If you need my hands to pull you up above the earth, well, I will lift you up to show you just how much you're worth, 'cause we need to be loved. So we need to be loved. If I had you here, I'd wear your heart just like a crown. And if it beats for me, then I someone else. to be loved. We need to be loved. So we need to be loved.
Gets caught in the moment, but my heart doesn't know it. Heart doesn't know it. Somehow I'm lost in the lonely, but it's too hard to show it. Too hard to show it. Danse avec moi, danse avec moi, danse avec moi. Do I fall? You are the one to make me think twice, and you are the one I wanna spend my life with.
guys. Welcome back from break. That was We Need to Be Loved by Anthony Starbull and Dance With Me by Davis Mallory, who will be joining us again in about 2 weeks to give us an update on his music and life in general. But now on the line, we have Rob Sanders. And
hello.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
Wonderful. Thanks.
It's great to have you with us. He's a teacher and he's also the author of Pride, the story of Harvey Milk and the Rainbow Flag. How are you, Rob? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be with you tonight.
We're super excited about this. We booked this months ago.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, forever.
We saw an article on The Advocate about this, and I was like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, a children's book about gay history? Are you kidding me? We need to book this guy on the show. So tell us a little bit about yourself and why you decided to write this book.
Well, I am an out man and a school teacher, fourth grade language arts to be specific, and have been writing children's books for a few years now. But after the SCOTUS decision back in June of 2015, mm-hmm. actually that evening, as everything across the world was washed in the rainbow flag, including the White House.
Yeah.
Thanks, Obama. Yeah.
Yes. I decided that, kids needed to know this history. The kids I taught are so far removed, even their parents are, if they're not in the community, that they're not aware of Harvey or Gilbert or the flag or its significance.
Right. And no, so in schools right now, kids aren't being taught this at all. Is there any plan to try and get these books to these kids in these schools, or is this just for sale for parents and kids outside of all of that?
Well, it's all depends probably on where you're located in the country. If you're in New York City, which has a very has a LGBTQ advocate in that works for their district and makes sure kids get information to them, then yes, you probably are going to see books like this. But often the decision is really at the teacher level, the librarian level in a school, that anyone can bring the book to school. I found that middle school and high school teachers and librarians are the most open because their kids are beginning to think about sexuality more. But we know history is more than sexuality. So I hope that we'll be able to get this book and future ones into the hands of kids. We already have some biographies about Harvey and about Gilbert, and they are for kids, and they are out there in collections. So hopefully this will be as well.
And I think that's very possible. It's something that we did mention earlier in the show, the John Oliver book about Mike Pence's bunny, Marlon Bundo. the creator of Will and Grace donated a copy or donated these books to every elementary school in Indiana. So it is in rural America in the elementary school. So I definitely think this is a very possible to happen across the country and hopefully beyond the borders.
Yes, definitely.
So
spread the news.
So that's right. When you sat down and decided that this is something that you wanted to write and put it out there, why did we start with Harvey Milk and the Rainbow Flag? I mean, obviously history spans way before that. What was the reasoning to start with such an extraordinary man and such an amazing symbol?
Yeah. Well, it was that image of the White House and the Pride flag. So the flag was in my mind when I was writing, and I knew that their kids did have access to some biographies of folks like Harvey, and that there are other stories about significant gay people as being gay, like Sally Ride or Richard Blanco or Langston Hughes, that we learn about at school, but we never really learn that they also were gay and lesbian. So I started with this book because it's about pride, hope, and equality.
Right.
And that's was Harvey's dream. That's what the book is about. And it's something I think kids can relate to. Kids can relate to symbols, too. And this is a symbol representing a community.
You know what? Sorry to interrupt you, but you know what I think is so powerful about this book? I remember, and both, I'm sure Meg and Chris feel similar, when I was growing up, you didn't really learn about gay history in middle school or sex ed. And it just made you feel, when you started to have those emotions and started to have those feelings, it just made you feel less of a person or more secluded. Right. And so we have this whole concept of coming out. And this book, for me personally, is a huge step in a direction for kids to not have to come out anymore, because it's normalizing something that's been a part of our history for years.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I'm older than the two of you, so I can assure you when I was in school, there was nothing about gay history, there was nothing that said anything about it being powerful, okay. I can't even think of even talking about it in a historical reference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I can say I don't have my history book here with me, but my history book for where I'm going at Gateway Community College, it does cover the gay rights movement, the AIDS epidemic, like that is in the history book. So we have our history out there in history books.
I would like to know how it's presented, though. I do.
I haven't got there yet. That's going to be next semester, but it is there in the textbook, which is a huge stepping stone.
I agree.
But the reason I bring that up, obviously, we want to have that conversation, but I wanted to, one, thank you, Rob, for putting this out there, but also get your perspective. Is that kind of a platform you're going for to help these kids just feel more okay and feel part of something that's been moving for years?
Of course, and their parents, because within the last 10 to 15 years, parents of kids that I teach have been more open about their sexuality, bringing their partner with them to, or now their spouse, with them to parent conferences, to open house, which even 10 years ago, that didn't happen. So letting the families know that this is a safe place, the school is a safe place for them, and to begin to instill in all kids that message of acceptance, and that, you know, we are sitting right next to each other, and we're as different as can be, but we are all still human beings and have a place here together. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that's a message that will get out there. You know, all I can do is teach my class, write books, and hope that they reach to kids. But I am fortunate that I have a group of students that I work with on a daily basis, and I can help to get some of that information to them. Mm-hmm. And hopefully make a difference.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, Meg, you brought up something. When Meg first got here, she didn't have a chance to read the book, so I gave her the book so she can skim through it. And what struck me about something that you said is the balance of what you put in there. There's so much beauty and positivity, but you also see the negativity in the book. And when you said that, you know, I didn't really, when I was going through it, I didn't grasp that. But you did for some reason, and
I think it was that picture with you know, the picket signs, and there's the positive ones, and there's like God says no, mm-hmm. or
gays must go,
yeah,
no gay, yeah,
exactly, and so I just think that's important too, to present it in the full light, and I thought you did it in such a beautiful way for a children's book, right? That it doesn't have to be graphic, right? This is a kid's book, but I just think the fact that it wasn't like, oh, he did all these great things and it was so easy. I mean, of course, I mean, you address the fact that he was, you know, murdered as well. But I mean, it's just done I just think kids need things. Matter of fact, you tell, you know, help them see that. And I think it's about having, you know, visibility into it, so that as a kid, I see this and, you know, I know that how I might be feeling, or how when I feel later that there's other people like me.
Right. And it's not sugar-coated. You're showing the truth. And Stephen Salerno did a fantastic job.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. And like,
shout out, Stephen.
And even as a heterosexual, reading this book as a child, you start to realize, oh my God, people would say this about you who... You're my best friend, and
right. Exactly,
yeah, you may be
right.
gay, but why would people say that about
the
you?
The negativity is so important to show, mm-hmm. show the backlash and show the hatred that some people will spew out there, and that it will hit other people that are not affected from this injustice that so many people went through.
Yeah. And my brother and sister are fabulous, and I can't wait to give my nieces this book.
Oh, yeah. It's an amazing book. I'm going to order one and give it to somebody who's about to have a baby, because I think it's such a great book to have.
I love the little visual you just gave for having a baby.
I definitely
wombish area.
but you know, actually, now that we were on the subject of the balance and the illustrations, do you want to talk a little bit about your collaboration with Stephen Salerno and how you guys came to these beautiful illustrations in this book?
Yeah, it's one of the most surprising things about producing picture books. Stephen and I have never met. We've never talked. We've been on some things. The process is that your editor and art director really are the people in between, because I tell my side of the story, my part of the story, and then the illustrator, Stephen in this case, tells his half of the story and does his research. I don't influence him. He doesn't influence me. And then together, those things combine to make a picture book. And if I had art directed the whole thing, it would not have looked like this, because I'm not an art director.
Well, I can't draw a stick figure, so.
But he brought it to a whole level that I couldn't even conceive of. And that's what usually happens with that collaboration. Though it's a separate work that we're doing, we're collaborating on the work and the message. So, yeah, that's how it works.
What was it like for you when you first saw all of these illustrations, you know, all of the illustration to the words that you've written for this book? Like, how did it make you feel?
It was emotional. It still is emotional. Especially certain page turns will just grab me every time. The assassination illustration, the newspaper and the candlelight ceremony, the mile-long flag, the White House.
I had no idea about a mile-long flag. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy. But anyway, so before we get into, because you're going to read a little bit of the book for us, but before we get into that, I want to know, what are your... This is a series, correct? So there's more to come.
Not a series, but there are more to come.
Okay.
It's not officially like a series, but next April, I have one book coming out this fall, which is about peaceful fights for equal rights, which fits in nicely with this topic, but it's a lyrical listing of different ways of peacefully protesting.
Okay.
Then next year, exactly same time as this, in April of next year, Stonewall, which the subtitle is A Building, An Uprising, A Revolution, will also come out from Random House. And it's the first children's picture book about the Stonewall Uprising. It's told from the perspective of the buildings, which have been standing there for 150 years, were originally horse stables for the wealthy. Wow. And so it follows their view of the buildings' view of history and the night they became part of history.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That is truly amazing. I can't wait to get the next, but we're going to have you on again when we get the next book comes out.
Absolutely.
I mean, obviously. So before we have you read a little segment, what is your ultimate goal and hope for these books that you're putting out there for these kids?
Yeah. I'd like to see them in libraries, in bookstores, in the hands of kids. I'd like to see kids in the laps of their parents being read this book, and parents discussing with their kids the differences, the beautiful differences in the world, and that people are all the same. I'd like to see it in middle schools and high schools. Yeah, it's a picture book, but it could be an easy way to begin a discussion and to lead into deeper research and deeper understanding of the topic. Mm-hmm. One, for instance, is when we're talking about the issues of hate and the God placard held up that God doesn't approve in one of the opening spreads. This was the same era of Anita Bryant. This was the Save Our Children's era. And this flag was part of the campaign going on against Anita Bryant in California. Mm-hmm. And the proposition that would have made it illegal for gays and lesbians to teach in public schools. Wow. So that greater understanding, which older kids could get and dig into, would be worth their time, and hopefully a book like this would get them started.
That's amazing.
Yeah, 100%.
So all that being said, would you like to read a snippet of the book for us?
I'll read a snippet. Can I show pictures? Will that work? I'll try.
I mean, we have the book, but you can show pictures if you want.
So this is my first public reading, so I'll try to do it justice.
Awesome.
I love a first.
Yes. So Pride, the Story of Harvey Milk and the Rainbow Flag, by me and the wonderful Stephen Salerno. Harvey Milk was an ordinary man, but he had an extraordinary dream. That dream would change history. Harvey dreamed that everyone, even gay people, would have equality. He dreamed that he and his friends would be treated like everyone else. He dreamed that one day people would be able to live and love as they pleased. With his New York accent, Harvey talked to everyone about his dream. His voice boomed, his body bounced with energy and excitement. Some people listened. A few agreed. Most did not. But Harvey's big voice and his big dream wouldn't be stopped. He discovered that the best way to change laws was to help make laws. In 1977, Harvey Milk took a big step toward that dream when he became one of the first openly gay people to be elected to political office in the United States. Harvey and his friends planned marches to protest inequality and unfair laws. And just days before one of the marches, Harvey had an idea. We need a symbol that shows who we are and how we feel, something to carry during the march, something to make people feel they're part of a community, something to give people hope, something extraordinary. Harvey knew an artist who could help, Gilbert Baker. Harvey asked. Gilbert said, "We need a flag."
Now, one that's beautiful, class.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much for that.
And the story obviously continues from there, so please buy the book. But Gilbert Baker, isn't this book in some way dedicated to him?
Yes, this book is, because I tried during my research period for this book, I tried to contact Gilbert, and I couldn't get in touch with him. But my young, energetic, enthusiastic editor, Michael Ost, Gilbert, and they actually got together a couple of times, and Gilbert read this manuscript, gave input on it. We even made some changes based on his input. For one thing, he said that he was not a seamstress, he was a designer. Oh. Important distinction.
Yep.
And it was his idea to have the flag, not Harvey's idea, which also is reflected in the book. So Gilbert, who passed away last spring,
right,
big impact on the final product of this book.
That is so amazing. And it's the story and what you're doing with this book, and the fact that it's dedicated to this brilliant man who gave this symbol that has now flown internationally, it's beautiful. And God, it actually makes me a little emotional.
Because their legacies will forever live on.
Yeah.
And not only, is it flown across the world, but it's been flown on government buildings across the globe.
I have a rainbow tattoo on my foot. Hello.
As you know, we have a giant flag flowing from our house.
Beautiful. Yes, you do.
Beautiful. Be proud.
So Rob, thank you so much for joining us. Can you tell our listeners where can they buy this book? Because I know it doesn't come out till April 10th, but where can they go and get this book?
You can pre-order it now from your favorite independent bookstore, from Barnes & Noble, Amazon, all those kinds of places have it available, and it will ship out April 10th.
That's amazing. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. And I'm so excited to see what happens with these books. You're amazing, and keep up the amazing work and spread the word, right, guys?
Definitely.
Absolutely.
The hope flowing.
All right. Thank you so much. It was great talking to you.
Have a great evening. Thanks again.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Adorable.
Wow. Excellent. Wow. Chris, do you mind hitting the end button on that Skype?
Oh, that's what you were saying.
Thank you so much. But wow. Oh my God, that book. You know, when I read it the first time, I didn't know what to expect. But how powerful is what he's trying to convey in that book?
The cool factor of Gilbert having that input on it, like, that's historical.
Absolutely.
In my opinion.
Like, historical is the best way to put it.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And I had no idea there was a mile long flag.
Yes.
And I'm totally spoiling a part of the book. But
spoiler alert.
Holy holding a donut.
This, I am confident that this will make its way into schools.
I really hope so.
I'm very confident that this will.
Along with Marlon Bundo, the gay bunny.
Exactly. I mean, John Oliver, he's got a ton of money and a ton of push and everything, but I'm confident that someday this can, you know, this will, like I said, it's made its way into our history books.
Yeah.
So that is the United States as a whole accepting and acknowledging gay history as history.
Yep, it's important.
Yeah, I can only imagine if they put it on the banned book list. I would lose my
and
shit.
Don't be. I would not be surprised if certain places do. I mean, if you look in, I believe it was in Alabama, they were drive-ins were banning the showing of Beauty and the Beast because of a gay
character.
Yeah, the Gaston or whatever his name was.
I don't think it was Gaston.
Oh. I don't know. I don't remember Beauty and the Beast. It's been a long time.
I think, was it his little sidekick?
That's what it was. It has something to do with him.
It was Gaston's sidekick.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the clarification.
Sorry.
But that's right.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
He was, oh my God. And then at the end of the book, at the movie. Oh, that was my
and
favorite place part.
It, I believe it was Alabama. They banned
I'm here
it.
For accuracy.
We have to be accurate because someone will email us. I would not be surprised if certain places would literally put it on a ban list. But, you know. People can do a book burning, but we can keep making them. So,
No, that was an honor to meet him. To be honest with you guys, like
absolutely, and it was really nice to hear his voice and have him read, especially for the first time, and get those words out there. And it ended at a very powerful moment. Like, we need a flag, which brought us as a community together, put our community out into other communities, and made us one community.
I wonder who this could be. Hello, you're on the line with Gay Talk. Hello? Can you hear us?
Hello?
Oh, it's Tom Ortiz, the producer of the show.
Oh,
I forgot to push
thank
the
you
throw.
So much. That was a great show. Y'all have a great night.
I forgot to push the phone up. Phone up Aux 1, you know, still.
You're
still
doing
learning.
Great.
You're nailing it, Nick.
So, Tom.
So I have to tell you guys are really killing this show. I really love the content. I love Meg. She's amazing.
I'm
really enjoying listening to you guys. It's so weird to be on the opposite side of the spectrum.
Welcome to our lives.
So I'm up in Maine. I just wanted to like call really quick and say you guys are doing amazing. Thank you for holding the fort down, and enjoy the rest of the show. I'm not gonna stay on. I'm not gonna be Nick or Trish.
And he hasn't been texting us as much as I was.
Not nearly as bad.
Hey, well, since you're on the phone, we do have one more thing we need to do before we go into maybe one more story and close out the show. Since you're our producer, do you want to introduce the next thing?
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. Well, what's going on? What am I about to press, Tom?
Oh, God. You're killing me. Oh, wait. All
you
right,
got
so
this.
We're there. So, ladies and gentlemen, and now, as always, you know that we guys were doing a monthly segment with Dr. Evan Goldstein, and this is From Top to Bottom. Bye, y'all.
Hey, y'all. You're listening to From Top to Bottom with Dr. Evan Goldstein.
Hey, everyone. It's Dr. Evan Goldstein here, and today I'm going to be dispelling 5 myths about sexually transmitted infections. There is a ton of misunderstandings about these infections, and when it comes to life-altering or sometimes threatening infections, it's imperative that we, meaning both the patients and medical professionals, understand the paths that we can take to prevent sexually transmitted infections and manage them if contracted. So let's get started. The first myth deals with HPV. The HPV vaccine, Gardasil, is only meant for women under the age of 26. And the answer is false. A full HPV evaluation should be standard during everyone's yearly physical exam. So when they're doing their swabs, they should be also doing an anal swab and pap smear. That gives us a better understanding of which specific subtypes of the virus one has. It's so super common, up to 90 to 100% of all of us, especially in the gay community, will be exposed at some point to HPV. So it's nothing to worry about other than to stay on top of everything, making sure that we understand which specific types you have and then what's the propensity for developing issues such as anal warts or anal cancer. The Gardasil vaccine has 9 subtypes of protection, which is wonderful, specifically the high-risk types, which are types 16 and 18. And those are the ones that are really linked to the development of anal cancers. If you're tested and negative for any of the subtypes that are in the vaccine, then the vaccine can still be protective, whether or not you're under the age of 26 or over the age of 26. With that said, some of the biggest obstructions for obtaining these 3 shots are either lack of physician and individual knowledge, specifically as it pertains to this subject, as well as cost. Unfortunately, over the age of 26, insurance companies do not cover the vaccinations, and it's usually about $200 to $300 a shot times 3. So it can be quite costly, and that's why there's a lot of limiting factors associated. Next myth deals with meningitis. Only those under the age of 23 should receive the vaccine for meningococcal disease. While infants and preteens and young adults have the highest rate of this specific disease, anyone can get it. And recently it has been quite evident and quite increased in men who have sex with men, which is us, also along with people who are living with HIV. What's key about this bacteria that causes meningitis is that it can be very easily spread. Just innocent kissing, saliva can cause this. And it develops quite rapidly. So within 24 to 48 hours, you go through flu-like symptoms to potentially even death. So with that said, we all recommend seeing your primary care physician, getting fully evaluated on whether or not the meningococcal vaccine is suitable for you, and at least being educated on the matter so that we can make sure we minimize our risk. On to the next myth. Viral hepatitis is not a sexually transmitted disease. False. Gay, bisexual, and other men who have sex with men have definitely a higher chance of getting viral hepatitis. This includes hepatitis A, B, and C. All of these diseases can affect the liver. Why do you ask? Well, hepatitis A can be spread through sexual activity, all the fun stuff we love to do, like rimming and fingering, also sharing toys, and other kind of possible anal-to-mouth contact. All of them obviously contaminated by the virus. The virus can spread through contacts with objects or food or drinks that have come into contact with the feces of a person who has the virus. Also, hepatitis B, that spreads a little bit differently. It's through bodily fluids such as semen and blood. Therefore, the hepatitis B vaccine is very infectious and is easily spread during sexual activity. Also of note, hepatitis B is one that can be spread through sharing needles or syringes or other equipment used to inject drugs. Next myth, herpes. A vaccine is just simply not possible for herpes. According to the World Health Organization, over 2/3 of the global population have herpes simplex virus number 1. That's commonly known as oral herpes or cold sores. And about 10% have HSV 2 or genital herpes. Herpes is able to evade our immune system so well that it can actually hide in our bodies for an entire lifetime. It makes it easy to transmit and is therefore the most commonly sexually transmitted infection. Most people with HSV2 never actually get any symptoms or never know they have it. This also makes finding a vaccine very difficult. Most attempts have failed because scientists weren't targeting the molecules that help herpes hide. However, a vaccine may actually be finally on the horizon. Pending funding, this drug could be tested in humans in less than 2 years, and they're using this kind of hide mechanism to figure out how they can combat this and put this into a vaccine that would help worldwide. All right, everyone. And the last fifth myth deals with HIV. It talks about PrEP can only be taken daily via oral administration. Well, the injectable form of PrEP is quite close, and it's closer than you think. Daily PrEP reduces the risk about 90% from getting HIV. Among people who inject drugs, it reduces the risk by more than 70%. When you talk about the risk, obviously your risk of getting HIV from sex can even be lower if you combine PrEP with condoms and other preventative measures. Still, with kind of scant knowledge on the availability of PrEP, limited access, and a ridiculously high retail price, of the ones who do have the privilege of taking PrEP, sometimes the daily dosing is even hard, which obviously, when not taken as prescribed, lowers its efficacy. In order to assist with inconsistent daily use and improve or maintain statistical coverage and efficacy, there's a long-acting injectable PrEP that's being currently developed and is going through phase 3 clinical trials. Rather than taking once-a-day daily pills, the injection form requires about an 8-week dosing schedule. So it would be quite a game changer for the PrEP coverage and allow for appropriate efficacy in our population. Thanks, everybody, so much for tuning in on dispelling 5 myths about sexually transmitted diseases. If you guys want to find out more information, please visit us at bespokesurgical.com. Also, you could check out our Instagram or Facebook. We do a lot of really great stuff during the week in terms of talking about other myths, as well as different tales and some tips to specifically gauge the art of bottoming. Thanks so much again, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
The art of bottoming.
Yes, indeed.
I feel smarter.
I don't know how I feel.
No, that was very important, because when it comes to STDs or STIs, so many people, with the fear and the unknown of them, just avoid the topic completely. And it can lead to so many of these falsehoods that he just clarified for us.
And a lot of people also, you know, not knowing, they would rather not know than go get tested. And that's even worse.
That's the most dangerous part.
Yeah. Holy crap. There's so much that goes. I just thought you got an STD and you got an STD. And there were some that were curable and there were some that weren't.
Mm.
Clearly, I was wrong.
Well, it's good he took on, fuck.
I dropped herpes?
Hepatitis. Hepatitis. He took on he brought up
I
hepatitis.
Knew it was an H.
They're all
HIV.
Yeah, the H's. HPV, HIV. He took on hepatitis. He talked about meningitis. He talked about herpes, and that was huge. Within a window of possibly 2 years, beginning human trials, depending on funding, obviously. But that's incredible.
I didn't even know meningitis was an STD.
Saliva based.
Oh. Guess we're not making out later, Meg. Sorry.
I was surprised he didn't throw that at me. To be honest, I'm sorry he went at you. He usually goes at me.
I think it's because I'm on the right. You know how people kind of tend to.
Well,
turn
that's
right.
Usually who we talk shit to. That seat.
Yeah.
That's the seat we usually attack.
So you guys are being nice to me.
Everybody's
you
being really nice
back?
To you. But that's also crazy about Truvada that they're doing a test trial where you will just have to take an 8-week intensive therapy instead of a pill every day.
Mm-hmm.
Because that pill every day is actually intense on your body, I believe. But I'm not that, you know, I'm not that up and up on it because I don't have sex anymore. So,
valid.
Welcome to the sad life that is Trish.
I don't want to be welcomed into that. Thank you.
But anyway, that was an amazing segment. And I think Meg has some people she needs to give a shout out to that are listening live on Digital Stream Radio.
Yes, I do. And what's really cute about it is these are all amazing straight allies.
Yes,
awesome.
Allies.
So we're like, this show is getting out further and further. So these four ladies are in Syracuse, Robin, Lori, Debbie, and Carol. Awesome ladies. And we also have a Denver listener, Lisa. So awesome, awesome ladies. I want you guys all to meet them.
That's amazing.
Excellent.
Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
I hope you tune in again when Meg's not here.
I'll be like, nope, super busy.
I guess we're just going to have to put her on as a fourth host. I don't know. I don't think I have the power to do that, though.
I don't know. I'm loving this dynamic right here.
If this wasn't Tom's house, should we just say, you know?
I mean,
yeah.
It's a nice... I mean, I'm just used to seeing a lady in that chair.
I love you guys.
We love you.
All right. Well, you know, Chris, do you have anything else you brought to the table today that you want to talk about?
Oh, am I going to end it on that note? I mean, it's an important story.
No, because I've got a story after that that we can talk about.
Oh, perfect. So I'm going to go ahead and say it because for those of you who don't know, Donald Trump does wake up every morning in our White House. Just putting it back out
and
there.
And it's not the one that's covered in rainbow.
No.
Miss you,
yeah,
Obama.
Yeah, no, it's not that one.
We miss you, Obama.
It's hashtag he's Tom's president. And he wakes up every morning in that White House. And this is the same man who called the president of Russia, Vladimir Putin, and congratulated him on his pretty well-known rigged election where, yes, he has...
Curse him!
Yes, curse him. It's because I'm getting serious.
Pootie.
And my body can't do it. So, you know, he won over like 70% of the vote, but they're suppressed. He had no actual opposition running against him. So Vladimir, hey, Tom. So, so as you know, Vladimir Putin back in 2013.
Tom says, fuck that bitch.
I know, I saw that. The Russian government back in 2013 passed its anti-LGBT laws promotion of LGBT propaganda. It became illegal across the nation. And gay.ru, or like gay.russia, has been operating in Russia, a website operating in Russia for 20 years now, covering LGBT news from inside the Russian Federation and around the globe. And they are getting shut down. The Russian government has blocked access within the nation to a popular gay site, saying it violates the law against propaganda of non-traditional sexual relations.
So this website, can you go back? What was the purpose of this website?
It's the same thing as like when you're looking at The Advocate. Like I said, it's been operating for about 20 years, and it covers LGBT news from inside the Russian Federation and across the globe.
Okay.
So it's just like when you go on The Advocate, you know, it's...
Or... UnicornBooty.com.
Shit, I didn't know you set me up for that. But what it is, you know, they're suppressing that perspective. They're suppressing and turning it into propaganda. They're calling LGBT news propaganda, or like they say, non-traditional sexual news. But the interesting thing about it was back in 2013 when this anti-LGBT propaganda law was passed, according to The Advocate, the site was notified by the government that said it was not in violation. But now, as we know, I believe, was it last week that the Russian election took place? It was either last week or the week prior. I believe last week, Vladimir Putin got sworn in for his final term as president of, according to law, but Xi Jinping and China changed that anyway, so wouldn't be surprised.
Changed that law.
Exactly, so wouldn't be surprised if Putin became the lifelong ruler, dictator of Russia. But just after this past election, where he's guaranteed to be leader until the year 2022, I believe, that they're going against a news organization that's just trying to share their perspective, and they're silencing that. So this is the person that was congratulated by the president of the United States of America.
What the fuck?
We went this long without bashing Trump. It had to get in there.
I know. You're right. Actually,
Tom's not here.
Tom's not here. And he just said, just to repeat, not my fucking president.
Oh, there it is. Like,
what the fuck is going on in Russia? And how could people be supporting all of this negativity in Chechnya and in Russia? Mm-hmm. This outlet was probably just for people to get news or information about the community and whatever's going on at large. And they shut it down because, let's be honest, in Russia, homosexuality doesn't exist. Bitch.
No. Hold on. That's not true. In
Chechnya,
homosexuality does not exist. In Russia, it does.
But who appointed that asshole?
Well, exactly. He was, yes, the president Kadyrov was appointed by Vladimir Putin, of course, and he's a big Putinite. He loves Putin. but yeah, it does not surprise me. It surprises me that it took this long to happen, but it's just ironic that 1 week after the election,
I was going to say, comes out. I was kind of almost a little impressed that website existed.
That long?
Yeah. No, I didn't even know it existed.
Not that it makes it okay,
right,
that it's
of
going
course.
Away. Don't get me wrong, but I'm like, oh, good on them for being around for 20 years.
20 years and then 5 years after the anti-LGBT propaganda law was passed.
Do you remember when President Trump got, I said it, President Trump, not
you
my fucking president,
it.
Got elected and within 24 hours, the LGBTQ webpage for the White House was taken down?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, I mean, obviously, this is a different circumstance because those people in that country have been put down and have to hide and they can't be who they are. But in the same way, it's like that day, I'll never forget how defeated I felt. Mm-hmm. Like when I found out about that, I was like, and the snowball begins, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And over there, it just must feel the same way. It's just like, it just won't stop,
right?
You know, with Chechnya and now with them taking down this website. And then the overall rhetoric of the country is just absolutely appalling.
And imagine like being an educator there. These laws were put into place to make sure that men and women that were gay or lesbian would never be teaching children. It goes after the very core of democracy and foundation for just loving each other and just being teachers. Like, teachers are there to educate one another. It has nothing to do with who they go home to at the end of the night.
And it makes me fucking angry to hear about that, because I had two specific teachers that I went to school with that were, they never said that they were a part of the community, but they were a part of the community. And I was aware of that, but they didn't vocalize it. Mm-hmm. And they helped me through some of the toughest times during high school that I've ever had. The point of having this diverse community within a high school or a middle school or an elementary school is so that everybody can be supported and understood.
Right.
And if you take a part of that away, you're just hurting an entire generation of people.
Mm-hmm.
I probably don't know, you know, I mean, like, we talk about the Trevor Project and all of these suicide prevention hotlines. I probably would have been the person trying to find something like that at that age, which didn't exist, if it weren't for these teachers.
Right. Yeah.
So indirectly, this motherfucker, by taking down this website, by appointing this person in Chechnya that's creating this environment, you're killing kids. You're mm-hmm. killing people.
And because you know damn well that gay.ru, which will no longer be accessible, will or would have had these resources available to anyone who needed to reach out for, right. you know, any kind of therapy, suicide prevention, any kind, or sheltering for those who are kicked out from their families, avoiding honor kills. Mm-hmm. This site would have supplied all of that information, and now that has been ripped from the web inside Russia. It did say that it is available outside of Russia, but in the Russian Federation, you can no longer access gay.ru.
That's where it matters.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Outside,
where they need it
there's
most.
Other resources. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And what's scary, too, is like, if we as individuals wanted to get in there and help people, it's not... We can.
And we've talked about it before. You know, Nick and I took place in the Voices from Chechnya March in New York City, and it's not enough to get the people out of Chechnya. They need to get taken out of Russia. And there are a few nations across the globe that are accepting LGBT refugees.
Not us.
Not us. We are not one of them.
Asshole.
Exactly. And the good news we had talked about before, the European Union knocked down a LGBT test to see if you are actually fleeing because you're LGBT. They were giving you questionnaires or examinations to see if you're actually gay to grant you the asylum. And the EU, the highest EU court said, abso-fucking-lutely not.
Yeah.
And knocked that down. So it's very important. It really goes to show that even more that we need to get these people out of Chechnya, but we have to get them out of Russia. They need to get out of there. Their lives depend on it.
I mean, preach, Chris. Mm-hmm. I give you that soapbox and you just stood on it.
That one hits me hard.
I know it does. That's, you know, it's crazy. You know what's another thing? You don't hear a lot about the lesbian community in Chechnya or Russia. I don't know if they're under fire at all. Do you have any insight on that?
Well, there were those ladies. Pussy, something pussy. It was like, no, it was, they, you know, what, you know what?
What is it called?
There are these two ladies. They're artists. They're musicians, and they both got arrested a couple years back. And they're two lesbian ladies, and they were promoting Pussy Riot. Thank you, Pussy Riot.
Sounds like the name of a good band.
They're a band.
Oh, it is
they're
a band.
Band.
Oh,
that's
a
what
band.
I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay.
They're two. Yeah. They're...
And the worlds collide.
So they actually were speaking out for.
You're right.
For women's rights, and I'm sure for LGBT rights as a whole, but they were especially, you know, for women's rights, and they were arrested. They were arrested for their propaganda. But I don't know their music offhand, but just to say, like, that there are people fighting up for women's rights in Russia and pay the consequences for it.
Mm-hmm. I just hope that one day we don't have to, that Russia is a different type of state. And
oh, Tommy texted us it too.
Yeah,
she beat you, Tom.
Hashtag Pussy Riot. I think that kind of sounds like something that's going to be in the title of our show, but anyway. But so let's switch gears a little bit, because we want to end this on a little bit of a lighter note. I'm going to try to breeze through this because we're getting to that hour and a half mark. In lighter news, everybody, Last night, Costa Rica just elected a pro-LGBTQ president. I'm going to try my best to pronounce his name, but Tom, who speaks Spanish, is not here. So Carlos, got that one. Alvarado
Quesada.
You nailed it, Chris. beat the 43-year-old conservative opponent, Fabricio Alvarado Munoz.
Which
is huge. So we know that recently, earlier in 2008, the Inter-American Court of Human Rights ruled that Costa Rica and 19 other members of those states needed to validate same-sex marriages. However, the previous president would not validate it. We still have a long road to go in Costa Rica because now he's up against, I believe it's something like they have so many different parties that he has to convince now to move forward with the LGBTQ same-sex marriage right there and not go against that court. But that is such a huge step in Costa Rica. And we know that we've heard in South America, that especially in Brazil, that there have been a lot of issues surrounding not only transgender people, but the LGBTQ community in general, with murders and just anti-gay propaganda all over the place. So this happening in Costa Rica, his vote was actually, he won 60.74 to 39.26.
Huge.
Huge.
Huge win, especially against an evangelical
huge.
In a country.
Yes.
Huge.
He won bigly. And this is actually true, unlike the popular vote that President Trump still thinks he won, that asshole.
Really is incredible, because I saw you put this in the notes. I did not realize that it was a presidential election that took place there. Now, I don't know offhand how much power the president has in a nation like Costa Rica, above the lawmakers. But it is really great. I'm reading here at the end, Costa Rica has a great record for granting LGBT rights to its citizens, including the right for LGBT people to donate blood, serve in the civil defense force, and they're protected from discrimination in housing, employment, and public accommodations, even though that they don't allow same-sex adoption, the right to change one's gender in an official capacity for now.
But, I mean, if you look at America, too, that's still a constant fight, you know?
Absolutely.
Same-sex adoption. There are plenty of places where people are still fighting this, and then we have Waffle House Kim, who still won't give people marriage license, that bitch.
She should be removed for breaking the federal law.
That's beside the point. But, I mean, this is, you know, marriage equality, yeah, it was a huge thing for us, but we can't forget that it's really just a step.
Mm-hmm.
A huge step. But it's just a step, and there's so many other things that we have to look at and keep fighting for and moving forward for full-out human equality for everybody. Again, this is amazing, and we're super excited, so claps to Costa Rica.
Yes, definitely. And definitely in the right direction. Uphill battle still. Like you said, he's got many factions that he has to convince to go along with the policies that many Costa Ricans, apparently 60%, almost 61% agree with.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Uphill battle with skis on, but we're still trekking.
Absolutely.
We're not going to stop. Hello. So that being said, should we, our gay talk term? Do we have a gay talk term?
Oh, crap.
That was my job.
That was your
Darn,
job.
So you had one job, and you did it beautifully, but this was another job.
So while she looks for the gay talk term, which, just go and find something quickly, why don't we move into On This Day in Gay History?
Absolutely. And this ties in with the whole episode. We had like a theme today. I like it. So, of course, On This Day in Gay History, brought to you by
UnicornBooty.com.
No,
not
Tom?
Really. Oh. Yes, really. I did them all. I can't.
So on this day in gay history, NAACP chair's statement, quote, "Gay rights are civil rights." This was April 2nd, 2005 in Virginia. Dr. Julian Bond says in his acceptance speech for an award at an Equality Virginia event, quote, "African Americans," and paraphrase there, ... "were the only Americans who were enslaved for two centuries. But we were far from the only Americans suffering discrimination then and now."
Wow.
Powerful.
That is huge. It's
absolutely
very powerful.
Coming from a leader, a chairman from the NAACP.
And it goes to show so much hope.
An African-American.
Exactly. And yep. We've talked about this on the show where people in the African-American community really struggle with their sexuality coming out. And it's really...
It's a different beast altogether, that culture.
Absolutely. So seeing this NAACP chair, this statement is groundbreaking and hopeful for so many. And I feel like, I hadn't heard this before. So this may come to light for so many people who could use some inspiration like this. So we like to share that message.
Hell fucking yeah, Chris. That's awesome. Do we have a gay talk term?
We do.
All right.
I just got to say, this book's amazing.
Isn't it awesome?
Yeah.
Amazon, man. Clearly, I mean, it's old.
There's some racist stuff in it.
There's a lot of racist stuff.
Like, I definitely had to skip over Get Gone, because I think they want you to say it with a little bit of...
A southern twang.
We just talked about the NAACP. Let's keep things nice.
Yep, so we're going to move off that. So I'm going to go with Get Off My Face.
All right, so hold on. This week's Gay Talk term is brought to you, of course, by...
UnicornBooty.com.
Not really. Yes, really, anyway. Priceless. Meg?
Get off my face, which means get out my sight.
Get out my sight.
That's
Trish, get off my face.
Bitch, I will mute your mic. I told Tom that I was just going to be like, Chris is talking, and then he's not.
She's fucking nasty.
Anyway, so if you love the show, you can help us in one of three ways to let us know about the show and ensure that we become more visible in the podcasting community. One, subscribe to
Words
the show.
Are hard.
Yeah, they're really hard at this point. You can do that by going to... Oh, no, sorry. I'm trying to read Tom's thing, but I'm just used to listening and speak. By doing so, you get the latest and greatest show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as the episode is published. You can also rate and review our show. You can do so on iTunes and the Apple Podcasting app, on Google Play Music, and for our Android listeners, as well as Stitcher Radio, Tuned In, Podbean, and your favorite podcasting app. You can also support us on Patreon, which I believe... Our guest co-host is supporting us on Patreon now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
She's amazing. With Patreon, you, our listeners, can help support the show with a pledge donation. The donations can be as small as $1 to $0.50 to $1 to $5. It doesn't matter. Every little bit helps. And Christopher, take it away.
That's my turn. Next week, we are very much looking forward to bringing who we had on today. Next week, welcome back Dr. Evan Goldstein to kick off our first Tales from the Tail.
Second.
I was going to say, I was reading that. I'm going through the notes. I'm pretty sure that's our second.
Look, at least the show is recorded and on air.
That's right. So next week, again, we welcome back Dr. Evan Goldstein to return Tales from the Tail, a monthly chat with Dr. Bottom, highlighting one of his stories.
And thank you to our guest, Rob Sanders, author of Pride, The Story of Harvey Milk and the Rainbow Flag, which of course becomes available on April 10th. You can get it on Amazon, and there are a lot of other outlets you can get it on. Just go to our website and you can find it out there. And of course, thank you so much to the wonderful Meg for filling in for Tom. You were amazing. And I hear it's your birthday on Wednesday, so happy early birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, guys. I love you guys. This was so much fun. Thank you so much for having me.
You gonna come back?
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely. We already talked about you coming back for the whole Provincetown thing.
Yeah, for the drinks alone.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly.
We're heavy-handed.
Yeah, it happens. Do you have anything else, Trish?
No, I'm good.
You sure?
Yeah, no, I'm running the show today. I can't interrupt Tom all the time.
Oh, valid. Okay. Good point. So, Trish, can I put a rubber on this episode, please?
Oh, my God. Please do. I guess, dental dam? Or a rubber today?
I guess. I've never used one.
Rubber.
Put a rubber. We got hard-ons and wide-ons. We're going to wrap them up. All righty. As always, guys, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio. You can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter, at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Trish, take it away.
Tom doesn't announce. If you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website and click on that Contact Us tab. At the top of your browser, leave comments, suggest topics,
proud of you.
Submit a question for the cast, submit a question for an individual host, probably Chris. You can also call us and leave a question via voicemail. We can answer your questions on the show or privately. Just call 334-GAY-TALK. If you need those numbers, that's 334-429-8255.
Basically.
Don't forget, the show streams live every Monday night at 6:30 p.m. on digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our show, and good night. Bye! Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more Dish.